Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, next on the T Nation, thanks for coming back and tuning in to part two of this week's show featuring my conversation with 2019 Champions Tour Player of the Year, Scott McCarron. This is the sixth time that I've had the privilege to sit down with Scott and talk about the game and where we are within the game. We also talk about Tiger Woods, the potential for Tiger to come over and play some tournaments on the Champions Tour and what that will mean for the PGA Tour and professional golf as a whole, if you will. But before we get started, I want to remind you about our great friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2Under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants. Okay, but before we get started, let's talk about our friends over at Squares Golf. Do you sway and you're off balance in your golf swing? You know what? It could be your shoes. A golf shoe needs structure to provide stability and reduce sway. How can you tell if your shoes lack structure and are hurting your game? If you can hold your shoes by the toe and heel and twist it, toss it. Squares was designed for the perfect balance of structure and comfort. Isn't it time you tried Squares? Try the new Speedbolt at squares.com. That's squairz.com.
Every January, PGA Tour Superstore pros meet every manufacturer, learn about the latest equipment, log thousands of hours of training, and together hit over 100,000 balls. All so they can get you the perfect fit.
All right, now back in Next on the Tee with me is 2019 Champions Tour Player of the Year, Scott McCarron. Let me remind you a little bit about Scott's background. He's from Sacramento, California, played his college golf at UCLA, where he helped them win the 1988 National Championship. Graduated with his degree in history. He won three times out on the PGA Tour, 11 more times so far out on the PGA Tour Champions. In 2019, when Scott won the Charles Schwab Cup, he also won the Jack Nicklaus Trophy for being the Champions Tour Player of the Year. He added the Arnold Palmer Award for being the leading money winner. He is one of the most knowledgeable and respected guys out on tour, and it is always a privilege for me to get to spend some time with him here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming back on the show.
You got it, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm on a two-week break right now before I head back out on the road for 5 weeks, so enjoying a little time at home, and the weather here in North Carolina and Charlotte got really nice today. We had touched 73 degrees, so it was nice
look
to
at you.
Get out of the cold. It's been pretty cold here last week, so it was nice to have some nice weather.
That's awesome. Good for you, Scott. And Scott, you know, the season is just really getting started out there on the Champions Tour. I know you've had some health challenges in the past. We commiserate a little bit on some foot injuries and things of that nature. But how you feeling? How do you feel about, how's your health, and how do you feel about your golf game?
Yeah, the health is good. My ankle's healed up. I feel like it's as good as it's ever going to get. You know, I don't know about 100% at my age, but you know how those ankle injuries are. But I'm feeling very good physically, mentally. I'm ready to play some great golf. I had a couple good tournaments. Finished 25th in Morocco on a golf course that is tough for me, and then last week down in Naples, a golf course that I really have not played well at all, but I actually played okay. I didn't putt very well, but I hit the ball nice, and I finished fourth in driving accuracy, So that was kind of a nice change, but it's a golf course. I don't get to hit driver very often there. It's so tight. You got to walk single file down every fairway.
Scott, as you know, I'm a huge fan of the Champions Tour. And one of the things I love most about you guys, you don't need a player like Justin Thomas to come out and urge the players to be more engaging with the fans. You guys are great at that. Plus, the level of play is still at a very high level. Unfortunately, we don't get to see enough of you guys because in order to watch it, we're going to have to tune in later in the afternoon or in the early evening on the Golf Channel. I almost feel like you guys too frequently are an afterthought by the PGA Tour. And with so many great legends out there, I just think that's hugely unfortunate.
We are on Golf Channel every week. I don't think we have the best times because they're showing PGA Tour events, which they've got to do. The PGA Tour is their main big brand, which I understand. But I do agree with you. We've got a great product. We're seeing Ernie Els, Bernard Langer, these guys that are just absolute Hall of Famers, Padraig Harrington, Retief Goosen, Vijay Singh, Stuart Sink's coming out now and playing with us. And next year, we got Tiger Woods turning 50. So that could really change some things for us. But it's a great product. These guys can still flat out play. A lot of them can still play on the PGA Tour if they needed to. So I think it is something that I wish we had a little bit better marketing for the Champions Tour. Yeah. But I also think the PGA Tour keeps us down just a little bit because they don't want to take away from the PGA Tour, which is their bread and butter. And I do kind of understand that. But I wish we were being televised maybe somewhere else or somewhere they can reach a larger audience because it is a good product.
Yeah, Scott, as I was learning the game and getting into the PGA Tour, I mean, you were the guys that I was watching. You guys were my heroes. And I just wish there was better marketing for what you guys were doing and the great product that you guys deliver each and every week. And I got to believe that a year from now, Tiger's going to be 50, and I hope he comes out and plays at least the Champions Tour majors, maybe a few more events, because he'll be able to take a card if he has to. But I got to believe that Jay Monahan is going to lose his mind for the tournaments that come out with Tiger in the field. This whole thing is going to flip. The ratings on the Champions Tour are going to skyrocket. It's going to dwarf what happens that week out on the regular PGA Tour. And I'm kind of really rooting for that, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I think that the Tour brass has kind of made some changes, you know, with exempting Tiger Woods into all the elevated events. They want to keep him out on the PGA Tour as long as possible. I think this TGL league they've started is another thing to keep him occupied a little bit. But, you know, all in all, we are professional golfers. We love to compete. And Tiger, once he comes out, I think he's going to see how much fun it is. And I think he's going to see that he's going to compete against the same guys he was competing against in his heyday. And if he has some success, I think he might play even a little more than some people think. I do believe he is going to come out and play. He's told me years ago, about 4 years ago, that he was going to come out and play. He's told a lot of guys he was going to come out and play. And I think he'll play the majors. I think he'll play a few events that first year, you know, maybe Mitsubishi, the first tournament of the year in Hawaii. He'll play Stricker's tournament, which is a team event. I'm sure him and Stricker will probably be teammates. He'll probably play Jim Furyk's tournament, you know, and he'll play maybe a couple others, but I think he's going to enjoy it. I think he's going to see how much fun it is. And we've changed some of the cart rules now that will, maybe help Tiger when he comes out, in the fact that we changed the cart rule that you can tee off, get in the cart, drive to your ball, and then you can hit and then walk up to the green and let the caddy take the cart up. So Tiger won't have to worry about the gallery up by the green and where he's got to take the cart and those type of things. And I think that might actually behoove Tiger and help him come out and maybe play a little bit more with this, because we sure would love to have him come out.
Scott, I've said this to you in the past, and regardless of whether or not you hold an official title within the Champions Tour, I view you as a leader out there, someone who is looking out for the best interest of the Champions Tour. In my opinion, the PGA Tour Policy Board could use someone like you on it. You obviously know all the issues that the players deal with. You make great decisions, something that the powers to be on the PGA Tour haven't really done a great job of over the last 2+ years. Talk about some of the roles that you've had with the Champions Tour and being a leader out there.
Well, even on the PGA Tour, I was on the PAC probably 4 different times on the Player Advisory Council, and I did one 4-year term on the board. So I did get to learn a lot of the in and outs of the PGA Tour. And my goal when I was on that board, and really Peter Jacobson helped me quite a bit. He said, one, question every single thing they do and ask why. How does this benefit the membership? And two, make sure that we don't take away playing opportunities from the players. And, you know, I look at what they're doing now out there, and man, they have taken away so many playing opportunities from this next year when they're going to only 100 guys. They have these elevated events with no cuts. They've really changed the whole aspect of the PGA Tour. And I don't really think it's for the better for the players. You know, it might be for TV or sponsors, maybe. But, you know, like last week, we had a great story with that Brian Campbell, with him winning, coming out of nowhere. And you need those type of stories. So, I, you know, I wish the elevated events had maybe 100 to 125 guys had cuts. Because I think having a cut is one of the things that was paramount to a PGA Tour player. I mean, you either made it that week and made some money, or you missed the cut and didn't make any money, had to go to the next week. But to have these elevated events where it's just guaranteed money, I don't think is the right way to go.
So let's take that a step further, Scott, talking about taking away player opportunities. Look, I know that they want to compete with LIV to make it so the top players can make more money. Having smaller fields allows them to take the purse and call it, you know, carve it up into larger pieces. But to your point, this doesn't seem like the right thing to do. We've got PGA and LPGA professionals out there, and I say this to the instructors that come on the show, they're doing a great job of growing our game. Our game has never been healthier at the amateur level. But as we kind of go up the pyramid, if you will, the kids that are doing great things in college or PGA, you know, PGA Tour U and all of those sorts of things, now all of a sudden we're restricting their opportunities to get to the elite level to go out and play on, whether it's the Korn Ferry Tour or the PGA Tour. That just doesn't seem like the right thing to me.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I came up where we had three different qualifying rounds to go to get to the PGA Tour, and final stage was six rounds, and you had 40 guys get on the 40 to 50 guys get on the PGA Tour. Now that has really been decimated. I mean, it's, you have to go play and qualify for the Korn Ferry Tour all year and play well to get on the PGA Tour. So we don't get to hear those type of rags to riches stories. Now they have a qualifying school, you know, five guys, which is very difficult. And I don't even know what they're going to do going forward. But I would like to see, you know, qualifying school was one of the most compelling tournaments you could ever watch, and compelling on TV as well. Guys fighting for their livelihood to get to the PGA Tour. You know, and another thing, you know, we're talking about guys making more money. And can the sponsors continue to pony up the money to have these guys making so much money where you got guys making 50, 60 million a year? You know, I don't know. We almost maybe have to take a step back possibly. But they're doing that because of LIV, and they try not to lose guys to LIV. We cannot compete with LIV and the money that Yasser has. You know, we just can't. So we've got to figure some way out to work together somehow. I kind of wish that we would have taken those phone calls back when Greg Norman was trying to reach out to Jay Monahan. But, you know, having looked at it now, are we in a better position now with the PGA Tour negotiating with LIV than we would have been 2 or 3 years ago? And, you know, so you got to say to Jay Monahan, possibly we're in a better position now. So it might be a good thing that we didn't negotiate. But I think it's been a detrimental downfall to the PGA Tour fan out there, missing some of these guys that were actually characters and stars, the Bryson DeChambeaus, the Patrick Reeds, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Cam Smith, and John Rahm. I mean, these were world-class players, top 10 players in the world, and great personalities that we unfortunately lost. So somehow they got to figure out something to get back. And I even saw President Trump today say the deal trying to get peace with Russia and Ukraine is going to be easier than getting the PGA Tour and LIV together, which, you know, I kind of agree with him. I mean, this is an ongoing thing. I know they're talking. We've got to come to some type of agreement. And I don't know what I used to think I knew it was going to happen. I really, Chris, to this day, I have no idea what's going to happen. But if you knock down the PGA Tour, only 100 exempt players, and then you start adding back the LIV guys, now you're taking more opportunities away from PGA Tour players. So, you know, maybe they're going to have to increase that again back to 125 to keep your tour card and increase event size just a little bit again to recognizing what's happening with if these LIV guys do get to come back.
Yeah, Scott, you know, this has obviously been a huge topic for going on, 2.5 years now. I don't believe that LIV Golf is going anywhere because I mean, they've signed a whole bunch of deals. They've brought in YouTubers that, you know, they're influencers and Rick Shields. And it just doesn't look like there's any indication that it's going to fold up its tent and go anywhere. But I sure would like to see them potentially. And I saw something in Golf Magazine where maybe they find four events where they can kind of cross pollinate. So we can see these great players. You mentioned Bryson DeChambeau, you know, great players like that more than four times a year. Maybe they can have something along those lines. But yeah, the bottom line, I just don't see this ever changing. That I think these two tours go on for who knows how long.
Well, I think it certainly, I don't think LIV's going anywhere either. I mean, they have enough money to keep that tour going forever. We've got to come to some type of agreement. I don't know what that's going to look like. For a while, I really thought that before the PGA Tour took over a partnership with the European Tour, I thought that might be a good avenue, LIV and the European Tour meshing together. But I don't think that's going to happen now. The PGA Tour is a big part owner of that. But I would like to see some of those guys come back. And also, selfishly, on the Champions Tour, we've got a lot of some LIV guys that are turning 50 or are 50 that would be very helpful to our tour, with the Phil Mickelsons, Ian Poulter's turning 50, Graham McDowell, Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson. You know, again, when he came out, when he first turned 50, he was a huge draw for our tour. So I would like to see those guys possibly come back, because, you know, they didn't really hurt our tour, the Champions Tour. They did hurt the PGA Tour, though, when they left. But we've got to figure some way out to all of us kind of get back together where those guys can come back and play some events. Do, like you said, cross-pollinate in a few events. And I think it would be good for all of golf. You know, the fans want to see the best players in the world play against each other. I hope that comes to fruition.
Scott, when I was looking back over your Champions Tour career, a senior major that seemed to be something that where you consistently played well in year after year was the Senior PGA Championship. Over the 8 times you've played in it, you've had 3 top fives, 4 top tens, 5 top 15s. And this year, it's going to get held at Congressional, a place where you had some success in the past. You finished tied for 10th at the U.S. Open there in 97. I feel like there are some positive vibes waiting for you out there on that course. Do you feel that that's a place where you can take another run at a senior major?
Well, I hope so. I know they've changed it quite a bit since I played it in 97. I hear it's just a completely different golf course. But it was one that I really enjoyed playing. And one of the tougher U.S. Opens I had ever played, that 97 Congressional, just deep, rough, and tough green. So I look forward to getting back there. I'll be exempt to play, and I really am looking forward to playing that. And I have had some success at the Senior PGA, and, you know, had a chance to win a couple. And if it wasn't for my good buddy Ken Tenegawa making a 15-footer for par in the last hole, we possibly could have had a playoff. I might have won that week. So he always gives me crap about that still. And he's got a very large trophy to show for it. And I don't.
And Scott, speaking of positive vibes, there's probably no place that awaits you with positive vibes more than here in Atlanta. You won a couple of Bell South Classics here during your PGA Tour days. You won the Mitsubishi Electric Classic here on the Champions Tour during your Charles Schwab Cup Championship here in 2019. All of those wins out there at TPC Sugarloaf. So that property has been pretty good to you over the years. Do you come here maybe with a little higher level of confidence because you know that track so well and you know you can go out there and win on it?
Well, I certainly have had a lot of success there. You know, it was such a beautiful community and a beautiful golf course designed by Greg Norman. I wish I would have bought a house there back in 97. So I would have made a lot more money buying a house there than all my wins. That community is absolutely fantastic. You know, they built another 18 hole or another 9 hole golf course as well there, which is also spectacular. It's just a beautiful place. I have good vibes when I go back. I love the area, and I look forward to that every year.
Scott, changing gears a little bit, if I could wave a magic wand and make you the healthiest that you've been during your playing career, whether it's on the PGA Tour or the Champions Tour, and you were out there playing your best golf, and I could give that to you for 1 week so you can make another run at winning a tournament, like I say, on either of the tours, what tournament would you like another run at?
Oh, you know what? I want another run at the Masters. I love
that, right?
Oh my God. I love that golf course. I love everything about it. I got to play six of them. I played very well. My first one there, finished 10th. A 99, I had played in the final group on Saturday with Jose Maria, and I birdied 11 to take the lead, you know, in the final group on Saturday. I mean, I just had so many great memories of playing there that I absolutely loved. And back in the day, that golf course was, I actually felt like that was a golf course I was going to win a major at. Now it's changed and gotten a lot longer that I can't compete at that golf course anymore. But if you could somehow go back to the 96, 97, 98 golf course, I would love to go back there and have another opportunity.
Scott, switching gears a little bit, we're on the heels of the 45th anniversary of the 1980 U.S. hockey team's Miracle on Ice victory over the Soviet Union back on February 22nd of 1980. And some folks may not remember that wasn't even for the gold medal. They had to come back 2 days later and beat Finland to win that gold. But to me, that's the greatest sporting event of my lifetime that I witnessed that still brings a tear to my eye every day. I was curious, you know, for you, is there a sporting event over the course of your lifetime that you enjoy looking back on?
You know, I would say that was the Miracle on Ice was one of the most special things for me, because with all the differences between the United States and the Soviet Union at that time, and it was such a big win. And the U.S. kids were just kids at the time. Mike Ruzioni has become a good friend of mine, and to think of the things that he did. And I don't have many sports memorabilia things in my house. But that I have a picture of that Miracle on Ice, that win that I got from Mike Ruzioni, signed by all the players.
Wow. That's
one of the more special things that, that I have at my house. And so I would say, yeah, that was probably one of the greatest events I'd ever seen. And, you know, watching the USA and Canada going at it a couple times here last week was also pretty cool. Unfortunately, we lost the final game 3-2, but, I thought that was pretty special as well.
Scott, just a couple more before I let you go. And you're always such a great spokesperson for the sponsors that you are out there partnering with. Remind everybody about the great folks that you do business with.
Well, certainly. Tour Edge, one of my main sponsors, carry the bag for them, play the driver. Tour Edge driver is fantastic. The Threewood and the Hybrid, love their stuff. Great company. David Glod's just done a super job, and I'm so happy to represent them. Brown Langer and I on the Champions Tour. River Rock, which is I'm invested with them. We do over 55 rental communities and storage facilities. One of my great friends, Dan Hughes, here lives right next to me, and I'm doing a lot of investing with him, and so I wear them on my hat. Titleist, obviously, ball shoe glove, been absolutely fantastic, and I'm heading out to TPI in 2 weeks to go spend some time with Greg Rose, who's just phenomenal, and my golf coach, Roger Gunn, because, you know, I'm going to be 60 this July, and I want to be fit and mobile and see how I can get faster until I'm 70, Chris. So you heard it here first. I'm going to 70.
Good for you.
Obviously, Trump National Golf, where I live, love this golf course here. Greg Norman Golf Apparel. Taiga Boat, which I live around the lake. I've got a 24.5-foot Taiga Boat. Throws out a huge wake. My wife and I wake surf just about every night we're home, and Schneiden sunglasses. And then a new endeavor that I'm involved in, Jack Bay, golf course going on down in the Eleutheras. I bought a lot down there, founding member. Tiger Woods built a 10-hole par 3 golf course on it back in 2016. Nicholas Design Group's building an 18-hole golf course. It'll be 395 homes. It's in the south Eleutheras, right on the Atlantic Ocean, 4.5 miles of ocean front. And this golf course is going to be the most spectacular golf course I think I've ever seen in my life. And we're very excited about that. And that project's just getting going.
Yeah. When are you and Jenny moving down there?
Yeah, well, that's the goal. I mean, the goal is to, you know, play for 5, 6, 7 years and maybe spend 6 months there and 6 months here in Charlotte. Chris, when we walked on that property, it's been someone I've been looking at for a while. We absolutely fell in love with it. We've been back there twice to kick some dirt. They've got the golf courses routed now, and they're just getting moving. They shaped number one and number 18, and they're building cottages, and clubhouse will be done here in the next month or two. So I see spending some time down there over the next few years.
And speaking of your wife, Jenny, she's a great rider out there in the equestrian world. How's Jenny doing?
Jenny's doing great. She's playing a little bit more golf right now. She's not riding right now. She had a little bit of a fall a couple years ago, so we're taking a little break from the horses, but she's going to get back into the horses again. That's something that she absolutely loves to do. And I really enjoy watching her show, and it's just so fun for me to see her doing something that she absolutely loves.
Scott, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're out there doing and follow you on the Champions Tour and keep up with you on social media?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Scott McCarron Golf, or you can follow me on X at Scott McCarron.
Scott, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. You're always fantastic, my friend. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, and I'm out there rooting hard for you each and every week. I hope you play really well this season.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Scott. That is the great Scott McCarron, folks. They don't come better than that guy. I tell you, he is just one of my absolute favorite players out there on the Champions Tour or anywhere for that matter. I marvel at his golf swing, the strength and the power that he has in it. I'm excited to hear and watch him as he is splitting fairways. And you want to talk about it, you know, if he starts hitting the ball accurately and starts putting the eyes out of the ball, he's going to be very tough to beat. He is a fantastic guy. Like I say, clearly a leader out there on the Champions Tour, was for many years, as you heard, on the PGA Tour as well. And like I say, the power in his swing and the mental toughness and focus that he has, that you put all that together, boy, Scott McCarron is going to be tough to beat out there this year. And you can understand why he won the 2019 Charles Schwab Cup title as well. They don't come smarter or better than that guy. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to John Cook, Jeff Harper, and Scott McCarron for joining me. Scheduled to join me next week are our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry, is going to be back. I'll get a return visit from Bob Byman. Bob won the very first Arnold Palmer Invitational that was held out at Bay Hill. And then making his Next on the Tee debut is going to be a three-time winner between the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, Wes Short Jr. So, folks, it's going to be a great show. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. For coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triblive.com, and you can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab, and you're going to find the most recent episode right there for you on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network. Then you'll see the Next on the Tee logo. Click on that, and many of the most recent episodes are going to be available for you there. You can also find this show out on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Player.fm, and GolfNewsNet.com. Well, I guess you're gone. Bring it down and bring it on.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.